The next part of the discussion sort of shift gears a little bit. What we wanted to do tonight was really just kind of hit on get back to a common understanding of the data as it relates to cruise ships. So what I pulled together working with Matt is basically like the city data that we have related to cruise ships. So we're going to go through that, try to answer any questions, and then hopefully that'll set the stage for a productive conversation next time around.
Whatever happened to that survey that was discussed a year or more ago?
The survey is available, and everybody should have gotten a copy of it already. It's on the website. Yep. So folks may want to take a look at it. I will say, I don't have a lot of summary of the survey tonight. The survey is one data point that people can use to help inform themselves about what the survey was geared at. That there's things that the survey covers, then there's things that the survey doesn't cover. So it's just one source of information. What we tried to do in our involvement was essentially
Southern Maine.
Make sure that the data was neutrally represented, and that there was information in there. You'll see when you do read it. It's a good fun read. Survey report.
Fun.
Yeah. What I think is really helpful is just to look at the number of respondents. Each question and how the data breaks down. So it just gives you a little bit of context in terms of what's covered and what isn't covered. So anyway, I'm not going to focus on the survey tonight, but it should be available to everybody. I thought we had already emailed it around.
It's posted on the city website too.
Yeah. Yep. So maybe if you don't have it, Callie can send it around. I'll send you the report again and just make sure everybody.
Yeah, I can scan it and email it.
If you Google cruise ship survey, Maine, that pops up.
It's right on there. The city website. We circulated it. I'm pretty sure we circulated it to everybody already. So, yeah. It was so riveting. Everybody remembers it. Anyway, but yes, that's one data point if you want to look at it. So just to get started, what we tried to do was I think I went back as far as Matt could go back and try to get some data for how many cruise ships come into port each year. And let's just try to remember that we're currently breaking them down between what we're classifying as small ships and large ships. So the small ships are those passenger ships that they're 500 passengers or less. And the large ships are over 500 passengers. So that's sort of the classification breakdown. There's probably more nuance to that than what I'm saying. So Matt, you can jump in anytime. But so 2016, we weren't able to really pull any good numbers for. 2017, there were 5 large ships and approximately 25 small ships. And I will say the little asterisk on the side says that the small ship visits could include multiple trips by the same boat. So like there's two
visit.
Boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two boats really that come into the harbor more frequently, the Independence and the Constitution.
The visit counts more than ship counts, really.
Yeah, visit counts. Yep, more than ship counts. So we wouldn't count if they came in like in 2018, they came in 19 times, you wouldn't only count that once. You want to count that for all the trips they come in.
So most of these might be American Cruise Lines coming in.
The small ones.
The small ones, I guess. Yep.
Can I ask a quick question?
That's a large majority of them.
Yeah.
Do they have any big ones?
Well, Pearl Seas, is a bigger one, but that's only like 300, 250, 300 people, so it's still under
under 500.
Right.
But what are the passengers of the one that ties up and then the one that anchors out?
There's usually roughly 150 people on the Independence. The one that anchors out, you might have up to 200 or so, 240 maybe, typically.
The capacity is...
But that's a K-boat.
Next question. So. What was the passenger number for the Princess Cruise Line that's here this week?
Almost 2,700.
Yeah, it was like 2,648.
That included crew?
No.
What?
Crew couldn't come ashore anyway.
Huh. Maybe it's a good time to say, like, within the ship context, there's like, I kind of think about them in 3 different categories. So there's the ship that can come in, it's like the 150 passenger, whatever number you just said, that can come in and dock at the public landing. And then there's what Matt calls a K ship, which is a ship that's doesn't require a certain level of security, but is too big to actually come into the dock. So they basically anchor off and then tender boats in.
What did you call that again?
It's a K-type boat, so it's a Coast Guard designation.
Subchapter K.
Oh.
It's just the size of the ship that requires, it does not, it's a big ship, but it does, it's not a big ship. It's a ship that doesn't require a certain level of security, essentially. And then there's the, what I'll call the large ships, which are the ones that have a certain level of security. They're definitely anchored off, and then tender ships in. So those are the kind of three.
Maybe it'd be interesting to see more of a scatter sheet of the size boats compared to the year. So, because as I understand in the cruise industry, there's a real trend that's happening. The big ships are getting even bigger.
Yep.
And the small ships are getting smaller. There's going to the boutique ships, to the adventure boats. So there's a real change. So the
Try to figure out, the data that we have isn't, I can talk to Matt about that and see if there's a way to like just break it out even.
Just number of passengers or something. And
yep. Yep.
I'm curious why the numbers have gone down with the large ship from 2017 through 2019, from 5.3 to 1.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I can answer that question. I think there's between what I'm just observing. So between, say, calendar year 2016-17 and 17-18, there was a cruise ship policy. The new cruise ship policy, we'll call it, the one that we're going to be talking about next week, is what when it came into effect, right? 17,
mm-hmm.
Calendar year 17. So.
And that takes 2 years to affect the cruise ships because they plan 2 years out.
Right.
So they're 2019 would have been affected by 17.
And I think, Matt, you can fill me in, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they, so they're estimating the 2020 visits already, but you already know like potential 2021 visits?
Correct. Yeah, they're starting to book 2021. It's also, I think, good to note that I've had probably two cancellations this year for the larger cruise ships, and they don't really come out and give me a reason.
I heard somewhere that Bar Harbor had increased the amount of passengers they were going to allow in per day, which allowed them to take in more boats because what we were catching was overflow from Bar Harbor. Boats, when Bar Harbor was full, boats would come here. Bar Harbor's now taking more, and so we're getting less overflow.
Yep. I don't know. I haven't been following Bar Harbor's.
Yeah.
Well, I think also from what I've read about the industry news, that basically cruise ships want to develop harbors that have the possibility of growing to a certain economy of scale so that they can basically control the harbor.
So they can.
And once this 2017 regulation went in, they said, Rockland's, no, they're going to be fighting this. Let's not push that one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at pushing other venues.
That's true. The cruise ship companies are buying the stores in Bar Harbor. So when people leave the boat, they're actually still shopping at the boat.
Yeah.
And if we have 10 boats coming in a year, it's not worth it to them to buy Main Street, which is a good thing for us.
Well, in Ketchikan, I know they have 90 last. When I saw, they have 96 gold souvenir shops, and the cruise lines own 92 of them.
Yeah.
And I was looking at this last ship that came in here. I think the surveys I've seen that people buy maybe $20 worth of food, which is a lobster roll or a beer or something. This last time, Samoset hosted a cruise ship sponsored lobster and clam bake at Samoset. So I think about 1,000 people went that direction, taking it away from our downstream, exactly what you're talking about and happening in Bar Harbor. So I called Samoset and to find out how many people came and what the cost was and all that. Oh, no, that's all handled by corporate. And I don't know if you know, but Samoset's owned by Ocean Properties, which is basically a service company for the cruise lines in Key West, in Charleston, a number of the different large ports. So it's that same trend of happening. They're not going to leave any money on the table. You want lobster rolls? We'll sit you down and give you lobster rolls. So they're not here to do the town any favors.
Let's check, just want to kind of work through the data first before we get into the other issues. So all I know from the data is what we have numbers for at this point. So you can see the numbers for 2018, the numbers for 2019, and obviously the 2020 is projected, and the six number is probably going to be in the, say, the 30 range, just to be consistent with all the other years, the 25 to 30 range, and then beyond. So that's the ship count.
And we don't have any data from before 2017. I mean, just the simple financials on that must be available somehow. I mean, we took money in from the cruise ships, right? So we should be able to get...
I don't have the schedules. I started in 2016, so I don't have the schedules available to me. I did go back to the financials for 2016, and that's the data that we put in here.
We're going to get to revenues, so it's a little more complicated than just...
Well, I just meant to figure out, to figure out how many ships were here. We should be able to figure that out looking back, not even necessarily through the Harbor Master, but, through the city finance department, they'd have that, right?
Depends on how it was invoiced out. If it were, I don't know if it was invoiced through City Hall when Ed was there, I don't know.
I can try to call up the Chamber of Commerce because they send out, records of how many different vessels were there.
And they probably have passenger accounts and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, they started coming in 2009, didn't they? 2008. When were the first cruise ships? Were
little cruise ships and coming since 1970.
But the bigger ones, they started coming in the early 90s.
I think the first big one was in 2016, was on September 22nd.
That was the first big ship?
Yeah, I think that was the, it was an oceanic cruise, the MS Regatta was the first. And that had 684 passengers, I believe.
Was that this year?
No, the 2016. Oh, the first one that I know of was September 22nd, 2016.
So part of what I wanted to do tonight was just to have this kind of brainstorming session, but I'm just starting a list of additional data that we might be able to try to get. And the data that we have right now is not easy to track back to 2016. And so what is reflective to me about that is moving forward, one of the things that you may want to consider doing, however this all works out, is a better system for tracking, cruise ship data, passenger data, or visits, or however that works out, not related to the revenue of it, because when we get to the revenue slide, it starts to get a little more complicated than that even, because a city, the way the budget works is not the same as a calendar year, it's a fiscal year, so your fiscal year is actually, stops in June, starts in July, so that means that half of the cruise ship season, or the latter part of the cruise ship season for 2019, is actually in fiscal year 2020. So it's changes, it's harder to track the revenue associated with it. So anyway,